Welcome to Rugged Theology, where we talk church planting, theology, and drink coffee. And welcome to Rugged Theology. Believe it or not, we are alive and not dead, or rather, we're bringing it back from the dead. I mean, which is fitting considering our faith and all that. But yeah, sorry to anyone who actually listened to our podcast. I love all of you. But we got really busy this past year, and this just fell off my radar and got really busy. But we're going to try it again. And we're going to be focusing a lot on Model 1 Mission, what we're doing, church planting, all that stuff. So you're going to hear our stories, our failures, and all of our frustrations. And with that said, I'm going to introduce our first guest, which is Matt Leahy.
Hey, everyone. Good to be back.
Are Thanks, you frustrated?
No.
You were a little frustrated just earlier.
Nope. Yep. I mean, for those, like, okay, so just in all transparency, this is like attempt number two to do this podcast.
Oh, we just chatted for like 20 minutes and I recorded nothing.
Nothing at all. Nothing.
So I also got Dakota here, who's one of our partners, so I just made a great impression on him.
Yeah, I'm thinking about leaving.
I mean, there's the door.
I mean, I can't get out, though, because this is a small space.
You're leaving tomorrow, though.
It's true. It's true.
Whether you like it or not.
We've got time to try to do this like three more times at least.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right.
I mean, Adam's likely to mess up again.
That's true.
That is very true. That's true. Yeah.
All right. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about mission trips and teams and how that goes. The ups, the downs, the good, the beautiful, the ugly. We'll start with the ugly. Because Dakota, you brought a team of senior students. Matt's the frustration, Dakota's the ugly.
It could be worse.
My wife says I'm cute.
That's true.
But you brought this team of like seniors, right?
Yeah, high schoolers, so 11th and 12th graders.
Yeah, you brought them up this past March. Me and Matt just literally had like an argument earlier if it was this March or last March. I said last March.
Yeah, it was some March.
So the most recent March.
Yes.
But aren't we closer to next March? So wouldn't we say last March?
I don't even know where I am right now.
And it's not even Friday yet. No. Jumpins.
But at least we've established that it was some March.
It was some March.
It
was
March of 2024.
I mean, we got a state of snow. And speaking of snow, when that idea was brought to us, Dakota was like stoked and was like, we can do this. And Matt, what was our first reaction?
Yeah, no. Just pure nope. No.
Like,
no, Shane, like Michael Scott. No, 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 no. No, no. Oh, no.
Shane Piercy, who's our partnership development guy, he looked at me and Matt was like, oh, yeah, there was Spotswood wants to come up and do a missions team with us. Dakota wants to send up some teenagers and do some stuff in March. And me and Matt were like, are you nuts? Like, do you not live here in March? So for those like who are wondering, like, we've got a saying, you know, in like a lamp, out like a lion.
That was really good.
But it could be like a lion.
I actually have a speech impediment, so how do you feel about that?
I feel great about it. It changes nothing.
But it could also be in like a lion, out like a lamb, or it could be in like a lamb, out like a lion.
Well, true. That's the thing. Basically, yeah, either March is beautiful when you start it, and it's horrible at the end, mm-hmm. and you got a massive storm, or it's the other way around. But we also get what we call Sheila's Brush, which happens around St. Paddy's Day. Which
no
is
idea who Sheila is. No one knows who Sheila is. For some reason, every March she comes by with a brush.
Her brush is wicked, though. I mean, she don't do a very good job. She don't brush it off. She brushes it all in on top of us.
No, that's right. That's right.
So me and Matt were looking at each other, and we told Shane multiple times, like, we don't feel good about this. Mm-hmm. Like, we were talking about, do we do, like, a basketball camp, or do we do this? And I can remember having a chat with Matt and saying, Matt, like, I don't want to commit to, like, a full-on camp, and then these guys can't make it, and that's then right, everyone's yeah. looking at me, and I'm like, I just ticked off or PO'd a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the last thing I need.
Yeah.
And what was your response?
My response was, guys, we've went to Alaska the last 2 years in March. Alaska's further north. They have snow. We were fine. This will be fine. I just kept saying, this will be fine.
This will be fine.
And I told you too. I was like, well, if that's the case, like, I'm going to pray for snow.
You did.
Yeah.
And we also got delayed because of you.
Oh, dude. Absolutely. We got jumped on like a day or two.
Yeah. We were on our way and y'all are texting me, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Right now is the worst we've had.
Well, we got 70 centimeters of snow. And for you, that's like 27.
Is that what we got?
27 in. Yeah. It was like 70 centimeters. It was a massive storm we got.
Wow. That was near Snowmageddon.
But y'all had already had a lot of snow. Worth,
yeah.
No, we had a lot of rain. We had went from almost no snow to over my window. It was the most I've seen all winter downtown.
Yeah. See, come the end of any snow season, like especially in March, I think we're all just ready to get on with the spring and the summer. And
we're all just ready to die. It was storm after storm, and then I prayed for snow, and Lord Jones, we got it.
We got. Yeah. So like even we were talking about this mission trip. Because it must have been back in like the fall of 2023,
correct?
That we started talking about it, and we're just this is a horrible idea to do a mission trip.
Right? And we were frustrated, me and you were.
Yeah.
We were against this a lot, and Shane was like, "No, this is a great idea. We need to."
Y'all were like, "We don't like this Dakota guy at all,"
and you were like, "No, I want to do this." Mm-hmm. And then part of it too is, I mean, honestly, we didn't know what to do in March. That was a big part of it.
I remember y'all were like, we have no idea what to do. They're like, well, do you have any ideas? And my response was, I mean, I can give you ideas, but I don't live there, so.
Yeah. And I mean, even for us, like, because this was legit. So we, as far as mission-esque type of things, like we do a soccer camp every August. And last year we had our first one and it made sense. It was August. It was beautiful weather. There was so many more ways that we could, you know, as a ministry, at least, you know, if we look at the time of the year to be out and, you know, evangelizing and doing outreach and missions and however you want to encapsulate that. But just the idea of no one's outside in the winter time. Like, and for me in a residential community where there's really no gathering spots, like I could not connect one in one. And figure how do I reach people who are just stuck inside for literally 4 to 5, 6 months of the year. Like it was a real, it was like doing jumping jacks to figure out, you know, what do I do? So that was one of the frustrating parts. And again, that had nothing to do with spots. What are you guys coming up? It was like, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah. Well, and one of the big things that I remember when you brought that up the first time to me, I remember responding and saying, well, what we learned by going, because they had the same fears when we went to Alaska. They were saying,
like the church that received you, or
correct? Yeah. They were saying, we don't know what we can do with you. Like people stay inside, and everything you just said, they said as well. Yet they still let us come. And what we noticed in doing that was, they were really shocked at how much stuff there actually was to do.
Yeah.
Once they started digging and figuring that out. And what happened was it actually made a greater impact because it is the least likely time that someone would come and help.
Mm-hmm.
Because of everything you said. Typically, everyone's going to stay to themselves, stick in. You've been trucking it out for a whole winter. It's been awful. You're just ready for it to end. Mm-hmm. And then someone's like, hey, I want to do something for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is why I was pushing so hard, going, I get it, but we're willing to come and suffer it because I know how much impact it's going to make.
So we went ahead with the plan and we had you come up in March. You were delayed like we told you would be.
Yep. We stayed the night in Toronto. Let's clarify this. We were delayed because you prayed for that to happen. Not directly.
I gave you a heads up.
But no, we did get, we had to stay the night in Toronto.
I think we were just trying to be saucy in the beginning. Like, We'll pray for them.
No, I was praying for snow
because you kept saying they can shovel snow if they come in their shovel.
All right.
Which we did.
And you were downtown as well.
Oh, heck yeah.
It was a mess, wasn't it?
It was like terrible.
There were cars everywhere. Like
to drive around, it was just like weaving in and out, finding spots, and you just see a car just sitting in the middle of the road.
Oh, the roads made no sense. Like,
none.
It was insane. And like you guys couldn't even access your parking spot.
Yeah, when we got there, we couldn't even get in the door hardly. We had to shovel our way in. did before you guys, we could even get in.
Did you guys get in a half decent time though? Like, was it late at night when you finally got to the Airbnb?
It was definitely dark. I think it was probably 8, 7, 8 somewhere in that time range. But yeah, no, it was pretty rough because when we got there, we're trying to navigate roads that have no navigatable, you know, premise.
Listen, I drove downtown.
I could have been on sidewalks half the time. I don't know.
You probably were. Let's be honest.
I drove downtown today to get to drop my wife and kids off at school, and I got like
Matt hates downtown.
I had heart palpitations, and it's sunny outside today with dry roads. I can't even imagine. 70 centimeters.
Where were you
snow.
Driving to? Because I know you hate downtown anyways. What?
Oh, we went up New Gower Street and went to that roundabout that's not a roundabout and turned left and right and did a backflip.
I know exactly where you're, what you're talking
right,
about.
Right, and yeah, so I mean,
y'all's roads are pretty goofy downtown already.
Well, you gotta realize how old the city is, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can remember coming in before we lived here. And I looked at Sabrina. I was like, who in God's name would want to live here? Like, I hated downtown because I'm like, none of these streets make sense. This is so dumb.
Yeah.
So you guys came and we reached out. I mean, we started trying to pull whatever string we could to find work for you guys to do. I mean, we wanted it to be beneficial for us, obviously, and you wanted to be beneficial to us. So we were able actually to help out a few schools in the area, which actually went really well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, I know it affected your students a lot, the work they got to do.
Oh, absolutely. And my thing is when I'm going on a mission trip, one of the things that we're doing with our students is we're not training them to go and just do work. That's a part of every mission trip that you're going to do some projects, whether it's painting, cleaning, digging out people from snow, whatever. That's going to be the case. But we're training them to be able to articulate the gospel through their story, through their testimony in those mediums. So when they're interacting with other people, say faculty at the school or neighbors on the street, which was really cool, we're just out there shoveling random people's stuff out. We didn't even ask. We just go over and start shoveling our cars out. So they walk out the door and they're like, what are you doing? You know,
like, you know, that's my car, right?
Yeah.
Like,
and that was something where then one of the students immediately are like, well, yeah, we're just here to help you. Whatever you got another shovel, we'll do it faster. You know, that kind of thing. So it was really cool. Really cool.
Yeah. How'd you find the team on your end, Matt?
Matt didn't like them at all.
Edit that out. No. Cut that out. No. Listen, it was great, but like I said, the big difference between, I think, Adam, you agree with me when I say this, between downtown and Kilbride and the Goulds is like I said, it's highly residential where I live, and so having that low hanging fruit of, oh, let's just do this or let's just do that, like, we had to get creative in a way, and so when it came to figuring, you know, what do we do. Well, I mean, I guess one of the lowest hanging fruit that we could latch onto, there was a men's home where there's, you know, some mental health and substance abuse issues. And I spoke to Dakota. I'm like, why don't we just, you know, bless them one day? Let's make them some food. Let's go over and just spend some time with the guys there. And so that was one of the things we did. But then we also planned out to do a guitar camp, guitar lessons, guitar lessons for a week. And so we, in the weeks leading up to Dakota getting here with the team, I put out like online announcements and advertisements and sign up forms. And I think we had like, goodness, maybe 13 or 14 kids from the community registered to come and do guitar lessons. And it was, now listen, it was a joy. In one sense, because, you know, we want to come alongside our community. We want to do things that really give back to the community, and offering free guitar lessons was, I think, a super huge just blessing. But then it was also a blessing in another sense, because there were nights where no one showed up. There were like no one, like we had kids register and they just didn't, they were no shows.
Well, and for our team that was helping you with that, that was the nights when no one showed up were the most impactful for them. And I know that sounds weird, but the reason is because that allowed us, who are your brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, miles and miles away in a different country, that allowed us to have a true moment of empathy on how difficult ministry truly is here.
Yeah, absolutely. No, 100%. And, you know, and one of the things I was hoping that you guys would walk away with is just seeing how difficult it is. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I think there's this mindset of North American missions where I'm going to go out, I'm going to share the gospel, I'm going to see conversions, and, you know, bingo bango. But at least for us here, it doesn't work like that. It takes a long time to be able to earn and garner the trust for people to then say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. And so the fact that there was, you know, but let's call it what it is, opposition. There was opposition straight up where people didn't show up. You know, I was just like, thank you, Lord. Thank you that, you know, my brothers and sisters to the south could see this is my reality.
I mean, oftentimes, though, we do have to remind ourselves, because sometimes that's part of the fear. Like, what if we do this and no one shows up and, you know, these people are here to visit? And we got to remind ourselves, well, that just gives greater testimony to what we've been telling them, that this is a hard place. It's not as easy to get people out. You know, we give stories about how many postcards we mailed out in Kilbride, how many I mailed out downtown, all that stuff. But when you see it in person, then you realize, wait a second, this is a lot easier. Maybe like back home or a bigger city or something. And, you know, here's Matt trying to get one person out for music lessons.
Yeah.
Right. And then downtown, I mean, I was just slightly nervous. I've been doing a whole lot, right? Like,
you know, I mean, all things considered, right? Like,
I mean, so the protests, like, they were a few years ago now, but they're still like, I'm not there to, you know, cause trouble.
No, that's right.
I'm there to hopefully, you know, through the gospel, see downtown St. John's transformed. That's what, that's our mission. That's our vision, right, for the area.
But you also can't turn it off.
Oh, but we can't share the gospel. That's why we're there.
No, like, I mean, turn off your memories of.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, understandably, you know, whenever you do anything that puts yourself out there and you plant the flag of the gospel, like, you're going to have those flood of memories come back. Like, well, what if this happens again? And now it's not just me and my team. Now it's Dakota and a bunch of, you know.
Well, no, because, I mean, it even spreads out further. Like, that protest affected you.
Yeah.
Right? Affected other churches. So if it happens again, but, you know, we leave that to God, His control. I'm not trying to be afraid, right? But
there's also the reality that you are trusting me to bring a bunch of teenagers from the States and not cause that.
I mean, I basically, when we talked about this earlier, but I basically told you, like, don't screw this up.
Yeah, 100%. You told the whole team that when we got here, too. Like, you had told me that. I had communicated that to them, obviously. And then when we get here, you just reinforce that, like, listen.
Don't screw this up.
Yeah, and, you know, that was really important for us to hear and be reminded of, is because of how hard the ground is that you're trying to till. And how, okay, yeah, we want you to bring a team in, and that's going to be great. However, you could really mess this up with your lack of understanding, and you could unintentionally just blow up everything that we've done.
Well, here's the thing, and, like, I was debating saying this, but you know, I've had people come here and visit us, and they've said, you know, the alphabet people and stuff like that, and I've actually had to correct them. And, you know, I've let, you know, Steve or Shane, but, like, listen, like, you know, one of these churches that don't partner with us yet, I corrected them, and just to let you know what I said, you know, I try to do it lovingly, like, no, look, I'll do respect, but, like, I do not use any of those terms, because it's not respectful at all.
It's not edifying.
Those people, no, right? It's not helping our case at all. It's not helping them, and we're there to try and, you know, present the gospel to them, so, like, that's not going to help the situation at all. So we just wanted to be, like, go in with wisdom. Right? To be as gentle as doves and be wise as we go in our approach. And the Lord blessed it. You know, we made long lasting relationships with the people that we were able to meet and talk to and serve. And, you know, we're still experiencing that now. And it's like, you guys blessed us, and the Lord just opened up doors we just did not think we're going to open. Right?
I'm actually, I want to ask Dakota a question. I don't know if this is on your list of questions for today, Adam, or not, but like, for you guys, what was the feedback from the crowd that you brought up? Even some of the leaders, like, were bubbles popped and eyes opened, and
So in general, one of the biggest things is that the students specifically kind of realize, like, there are people not within our purview that are on the same they're in the same family of God, and they're on the same mission that we are, but it's different and much more difficult in a lot of ways to deal with and work through and wade through the things that y'all are going through. So that was extremely impactful for them. And, you know, you get the typical thing that students get on a mission trip is like they go and they're like, oh, man, we could take this back to our city, you know, thing like that. And to be fair, this is one of the first trips that I've taken teenagers on that when they came back, a significant number of them actually did change. And actually did, and Will being here now is a fruit of that. Mm-hmm. In that when he came back, he, you know, when we were in Alaska, we did a lot of homeless ministry, and so he got a lot of exposure to practical in a downtown area ministering, talking to strangers that he doesn't know, praying for them, and things like that. And then coming here, he was willing to do that to strangers, no matter what. And he actually took that back with him. And ultimately, he started doing a thing called Street Reach in our student ministry, where he would take other teenagers with him to the mall or downtown or things like that and just engage with people. And it was a lot of the things that he had practiced and kind of honed in on. But what this did for him was help him not be discouraged when he went and they failed. Because here's the thing. You will fail more than you will succeed in this in that kind of ministry work, because we don't live in a culture or a world, even in the States, where Christianity is just like, hey, this is great. We want that, you know? So they got to actively practice not succeeding in a good way, you know? Mm-hmm. And that was so impactful. And Mike and Rory, the adults that I brought with me to help with the team, they were super impacted, especially Mike getting to meet with some of the people, staff at the school who were Catholic growing up and things like that, because Mike grew up an altar boy in Roman Catholic, you know, circles and all that. And so he was able to have like very connected, intimate conversations that were impactful for him. And he has been, I know that he has been praying for you guys. He keeps up with all of your newsletters. Like he actually expected that I would ask a different set of adults to come when we come back, because he was thinking, well, you know, there's other adults that probably want to go, and but I'm like, no shot, you're coming back. so he and Rory will come back, but you know, they have an extreme heart for Newfoundland now, as well as, you know, Mile One Mission, but more specifically you guys as individuals. And I know that they pray for you guys. Our students pray for you guys on a regular basis. Just 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday night afterwards, we had about 25 students that gathered together. Even, I mean, most of these students didn't come to Newfoundland, but they have such an affinity for you guys and for Newfoundland, because this is a big part of our student ministry now. Like, we're very connected. So
that's really cool to hear. I mean, that we've got, you know, I mean, I was a former youth pastor, right? So just to know that there's teenagers out there, students out there, like praying for us, that goes a long way, right? And I actually messaged Mike, because I mean, I mentioned earlier about some ideas about March, because you're coming back, and what we could do. And so I started messaging him already. Hey, Dakota told me this, and so he seemed pretty excited already.
Good thing he wasn't like, Dakota's lying, I don't know any of that stuff.
That would have been hilarious. But basically, I want people listening, like, you know, just to hear the ins and outs about actual ministry here on the ground. Like, it's not that me and Matt didn't want to put in the extra work. If anything, actually, I think it helped us be more creative to find stuff to do in that winter time. You know, the sun is setting.
Wait. It was March.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do any extra work. I was dog tired from shoveling.
That's what I mean. Okay.
There was one day where you said that you were shoveling, or maybe it was you shoveling from like, as soon as you got up till we arrived, and you're just like, this is what we're doing.
Yes.
Yeah. I think
that's kind of it.
I am not thinking. We are just doing.
Yep.
I think we just finished, because we had like a major storm another week or two before that. And it was just like nonstop. In like 2 weeks, we had like over 90 centimeters, I think. It was insane. We were tired. That was a rough March.
I'm tired just thinking back to it.
It's coming back again.
You're dreaming about Australia?
Oh, come on. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, but everything in Australia wants to kill you, man.
Yes, but there's no snow.
but everything wants to kill you.
That's true. That is true.
I will take the snow over like the alligators, the spiders, the snakes. Like everything wants you dead.
And most of it can get in your home, I think.
Yes. Yes. But I still don't like snow. Right?
But yeah, I mean, we were frustrated. And this is just the real life. Like we were frustrated. We were like kind of like defeated. Like we don't know what this is going to look like. But it was one of the best things that we could have done.
Yeah.
Honestly, it really was. I mean, you and your team, I mean, take this as a whiff. Like, don't walk out. Like, your head might not be able to fit out of this door by the time you walk out. But no, you guys served us well. And I got to say, your students put their heads down. And I said this earlier, like, we were cleaning a lot of stuff at times. And there was a lot of dirty stuff. And, like, I didn't hear one of them complain once. Like, I probably wouldn't have been super upset if I did hear a little bit of complaining, but they just kept
you were complaining. No, I'm just kidding.
But it was a blessing. So, I mean, in ministry, sometimes we don't always know what's best, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we feel like we know our context, but sometimes it takes someone from the outside to come in and help us. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to say yes to everyone that wants to do a mission.
Well, and y'all can't.
Right?
You would never get anything done.
Oh, it's not possible, right? But, I mean, some ideas, we've had people reach out to us with just some weird ideas that just would not fly here, right? But you, I mean, one benefit for you is that you did come to CODA and say, like, how can we serve? Like, you guys tell us where we can serve. Mm. Not like we are going to do, like, you know, door-to-door ministry. We're going to have a tent revival in March. Not something like that, right? Like,
yeah, well, and I will say that if you are a church ministry and you're trying to partner with any organization or church plants or things like that anywhere, and your mindset is to go in and do what you want to do, I would boldly say you need to step back and check your heart as to why you are doing it. Because if it is about doing what you want to do in order to accomplish something and to check a box, like we did this trip and now we can say that we did these things, that's not what missions are about and that's not what they're for. And you're going to do a disservice to the team that you take and the people that you are going to quote unquote help. Mm-hmm. So in, you know, my perspective is that when we come up here or go anywhere to any mission partner that we have, it is about partnering with them to accomplish the mission in their context. That means that we need you to tell us what to do. And if it's something that we don't want to do, we came here to do what you need us to do, not what we want to do. And that means that sometimes it might be uncomfortable things. That means that sometimes it might not be the what we might consider the sexiest thing to do or the thing that makes the best photo op. It's not about any of that, though. It's about just coming alongside and supporting you in your ministry and what God's called you to do in your context, in your place. And we're going to come in and just help that. And it doesn't matter if anybody knows who we are, knows our names, knows where we came from. That doesn't matter. Because guess what? We're going to leave and you're going to be here left to continue that. So if we come in with our own agenda, we're going to make it harder when we leave for you. And that is a terrible thing to do.
Well said.
All right. On that note, thank you guys for joining me. I hope if you're listening, you enjoyed hearing like the raw honesty. And you know, look forward to hearing back from us from Malwin Mission and what we're doing here on the ground. All right, with that, you know, catch us again next time. Thank you for listening and look forward to more from Rugged Theology. You've been listening to Rugged Theology. Rugged Theology is brought to you by Malwin Mission. If you want to know more about Malwin Mission and our work in Newfoundland and Labrador, visit www.mal1mission.ca. You hated that last question, didn't you?
Yeah.
I know, I'm saying if you don't give him a heads up. He's thrown right
out. Listen, I had no idea what we were going to even talk about other than you were like, we're going to talk about the mission trip stuff.
That's it, yeah.
That's all I knew coming into this.
Usually I do question stuff. I'm like, no, this would be a good one.
Well, like when I used to do our podcast, I would have like show notes, like the whole thing, very detailed. And then my counterpart, Kyle, would come in and have Jack squat. And like, I'm just like, what are you doing?
That's me and Adam.